Well, tonight I have a question for you. Have you ever had to get ready for a special occasion or event? And you're looking for something to wear, and you're trying to choose the right outfit. And I'm telling you, it can be challenging, because you've got to find the right size, the right color, the right style. And, you don't know sometimes until you just try things on what's going to work. Well, there's one thing that always works. It's always in season. And that is wearing a smile from your heart. Yes. Amen. Sometimes I just get ready and maybe I'm not happy with how things come out. And I just say, you know what? I'm going and I'm wearing a smile from my heart. And a smile from your heart can shine with His glory. A smile from your heart can bring a warm welcome. A smile from your heart can bring reassurance. Isn't that right? A smile from your heart communicates the love of God, the love of Christ to people. So it's time for the church to arise and to shine and to put on our original clothing that God Himself gave to us, to mankind, when He clothed Adam and Eve with His what? His glory. If you've ever watched any of the red carpet interviews, they all ask the same question. People will walk up and they'll say, "Who are you wearing?" Meaning, what designer, right? So that's a good question, and a question we should ask ourselves. Who are you wearing? Who is the designer of your clothing? For the first time, God created man. And Satan's plan, you know, right away was to come and to keep us from wearing the clothing that God had ordained for us to wear, His glory. Satan works, he worked back then, and he's still working now, to deceive, to lie, and to blind the eyes and the hearts of men. And that's why it's so important for you to know the word. Because when you know the word, you know the truth. And when you know the truth, guess what? You get to choose. You get to choose to live it. Amen? You get to choose to obey it. Now, in the garden, Adam and Eve, they knew that God had said to them, "Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Amen? But Eve allowed Satan to come in disguised as a serpent. He'll always come in a disguise. You may not recognize him unless the Spirit of God points you to that. Amen? Hallelujah. So he comes in a disguise to deceive. He tried to deceive her into thinking that God's word wasn't fully true and that God was just keeping her from wisdom and from something pleasurable. Because after all, the fruit looked pleasurable. And the desire to be wise and to be self-ruled, you know, that comes from the enemy. We are not our own, amen? We're bought with a price. We got to glorify God in that. And the desire to be self-ruled just seemed good to her. So she ate from that fruit, and then she gave it to Adam, and Adam did eat too. And what happened? Well, we know that that was the fall. They fell. What did they fall from? They fell from the glory. They had been clothed with the glory, and they had only experienced the glory. They had only experienced God, and God is so good. But all of a sudden, their eyes were opened. Opened to something else. Their eyes were opened to evil. And sin. And sin had legal access to enter. And because Adam did not take dominion, he did not take authority as God had instructed him to do, he gave it away. He gave his authority and dominion away. Don't give your authority away. Don't lose your dominion. Amen? Over your pea patch, over your church, over your city, over your kids, over your nation. Amen? We're not going to lose it. We're not going to give it away. We're not going to allow it to be taken. For the first time, Adam and Eve knew that they were naked and they felt shame. The first thing that they felt was shame. They had never knew of shame. And so they took fig leaves and they sewed them together, and it was man's first attempt at religion. It was man's attempt to cover the shame, cover the sin with their own effort. But, you know, man cannot redeem himself. Religion does not and cannot wash away our sins. But what can? What can wash away our sins, church? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. It'll never lose its power. Oh, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the mercy seat of God. You know, his mercy existed before our faith, and it extends beyond our faith. His mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Well, God had a plan to restore man through Jesus Christ. He wanted to restore man unto himself and unto glory. Amen? And so, we need to rise up. We need to rise and shine. Amen. You know, I've told a little story before, but I felt led to tell it again. And it was when I was little, my mom would come into my room every morning. And she would say, rise and shine and shake a leg. And I just remember that. And, you know, a while back, Pastor Mark was preaching, and he started talking about rising and shining and, you know, he was quoting out of Isaiah 60, and I was reminded about that, that my mom would always come in and say that. So I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to go look that phrase up. Where did that come from? You know, the Holy Spirit will prompt you on some things. And when he does, don't miss out on that. Go check it out. Follow that leading, because something there for you. There's always something there for you. So here's what I found out about that little phrase, rise and shine and shake a leg. In 1916, the U.S. military Marine Corps had a manual that they instructed non-commissioned officers to enter the private barracks in the morning and to use the phrase to wake up the men, rise and shine and shake a leg. So rise means to get up. So let me ask you, have you gotten up? Yes. Shine means make sure your boots and brass are ready for inspection and you are equipped. So that speaks of preparation. In the Amplified, it says this, arise from depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Prostration means the state of being weak, extremely weak, and emotionally exhausted. Have you been there? Arise and shine and awake unto righteousness. Arise from a corrupt and perverse generation. Rise and shine and shake a leg. Do you know, church, it's time to shake some things off you.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
It's time to shake some things off you. Shake some wrong thinking.
Come on.
Shake the plan of the enemy.
Yes.
The temptations. You know, the cares of this world, shake it off. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you got to rise up.
Yes.
And you got to start shining to shake some of those things off. Shake off the strongholds, amen, that the enemy's tried to come and surround you with. Shake off the fear, the doubt, and the unbelief, amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's time to arise, church. This is the day and this is the hour for us to arise.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I wanted to read from you from Isaiah 60. And we've been studying this and praying from this place, even in ladies' prayer. And it's just so good. It's so prophetic. And I'm going to start reading from verse 1 in the New King James Version. I think we have that up there. It says this, it says, "Arise, shine." Now, what was happening at this time is there was sin abounding everywhere. And it felt like, you know, it was a hopeless situation. It felt like, you know, people's lives were just completely falling apart. Corruption, hopelessness. And so what happens here in verse 31 is it gives instruction to Israel. But it's a prophetic passage of scripture that applies to the church. And it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." Jesus has come.
Yes.
And there's not another light coming. Amen?
Right.
Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has what? It's risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and the glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to your light. Now that's good news, because living in a dark world, living in a time where there's so much perversion and corruption and darkness in the world, I would even say gross darkness, it's easy. If you're not looking up where your redemption draws nigh unto you, it's easy to allow your eyes to see that darkness and to be discouraged and to feel like, what is going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. The glorious church is going to arise.
Amen.
And we are going to be the light and the salt. Amen. And his glory is going to rest upon you. And it's going to be seen. And it says here something's going to happen. The kings will come to the brightness. Amen? The nations, in one translation it says, shall come to your light.
Hallelujah.
And then it goes on, verse 4, "Lift up your eyes all around and see." God wants you to see through his perspective. He wants you to see as he sees. Not naturally. We look not at the things that we see naturally, but we look at the things that are unseen spiritually. You have to have eyes that God gives you to see with. To see spiritual things that he wants to show you. To see what he is doing in this day and in this hour. Amen?
Amen.
He's on the move.
Yes.
We just sang that. He's on the move. God is on the move.
Yes.
And he's in you.
Yes.
And two-thirds of God's name is go. So that means you need to be going. You need to be rising up. You need to be doing some things. Then it says here, it says, "They shall gather together, they shall come to you, your sons and daughters come from afar." That brings hope to so many parents, amen? They come unto Jesus. They might be far out there, but don't lose hope. Because here it says they're going to come. They're going to come. Hallelujah. "And your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. What is the sea in the Bible? When it speaks of the sea, it speaks of people. People coming to you. So there's one thing about going. We need to go out into the highways and byways. But there's another thing here that we see. God says they're going to come to you.
Amen.
Why is that? Because you'll have something of substance and value that they're seeking.
Amen.
You'll have the anointing of God,
Amen.
The wisdom of God.
Amen.
The glory of God. You'll have hope when they're living in a hopeless situation. Amen? You'll have the very presence of God. And you'll have the light. And God will gather people unto you. And it'll just be amazing. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
We got to be ready, church.
Yes.
As we go out into the highways and byways, as we go out into the marketplace, even as we're in our homes and in our neighborhoods, we've got to be shining.
Yes.
We've got to be shining. We've got to arise
yes.
from weakness.
Amen. Come on.
Prostration. Yes. Arise
yes.
out of darkness
yes. Come on.
And shine.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And shine. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. You know, you've got to take up your cross. Jesus says you've got to take up your cross daily and follow him. I don't know what your cross is, but you got to take it up. I can't take it up for you. You know, God can't even take it up for you. It's your choice. You got to take up your cross and take up his righteousness. And participate in the glory of God. Glory. Hallelujah. We're going to be participators of his glory. Amen.
Amen.
I love that. You know, we talk so much about the grain. We pray about the glory. We've been doing that for years. Pastor Brenda and I, we've been having a ladies' prayer group for over 40 years praying about the glory. This church prays about the glory. We need to expect increase of the glory in our services, in our homes, in our lives. Amen? Expect it. Hallelujah. Isaiah 52:1 says, awake, awake, Zion. That's two awakes. If you didn't get it the first time, wake up. Awake, awake, Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. And put on your garments of splendor. And then in verse 2 it says, shake yourself from the dust. In Habakkuk chapter 3 verses 1 through 3, you don't need to turn there, but you know, Habakkuk prayed a prayer and he prayed this. He said, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, revive your work. Doesn't matter what's happening through those years. You're seeking God to revive some things. And so, the word revive means to bring back to life. It means soundness. It means vigor. And it means this. Prepare for fresh activity.
Amen.
Woo! Do you want to be prepared for fresh activity? I know I do. Hallelujah. So that means you got to wipe the sleep out of your eyes. Amen. That means you've got to pray for an awakening in our nation. Amen. And in your homes. You, the church, you're the bride of Christ. It's time to adorn yourself. Amen. Pastor's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. It says earnestly desire and seek after the gifts. Are you earnestly desiring and seeking after the gifts?
Amen.
Do you know a word of wisdom can change someone's life?
Yes.
Amen.
A word of knowledge, the gifts of healings,
yes.
the working of miracles? Amen.
Amen.
These things can change people's lives. And guess what? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't you know? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God himself lives in you. That means his glory abides in you.
Hallelujah.
You are a city on a hill. You are the salt of the earth. So, let our light shine. You know, it shines brightest in the darkness. So you might be feeling overwhelmed because there's so much darkness all around, but you're going to shine even brighter in that darkness. And again, people are going to be drawn into you. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And it says this, you know, God's always had a plan, first of all, and his plan is for the church to shine. His plan is for the glorious church. He calls us the glorious church. And in 1 Corinthians, it says this in verse 6, chapter 2. However, there is wisdom, this is in the Passion Translation, that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God that was hidden before now in a mystery. The Greek word for mystery actually means sacred secret. It is his secret plan, destined before the ages to come and destined before the ages to bring us unto glory. The Amplified says it'll lift us into glory. Verse 8, none of the rulers of this present world understood it, for if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. And so we were predestined to be lifted into the glory. You know, the fall of man separated man from the glory. But it's such a divine circle because God had a plan to send Jesus who lifts us back up into the glory.
Amen.
So that we can walk in the glory and disperse it.
Yes,
what is the glory? The glory is the presence of God.
Amen.
And his presence abides in you. Amen.
Amen.
Colossians 1:27 says, speaks of the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is what?
Christ
in you, the hope of glory. Glory brings hope.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are being transformed into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transformation comes from the Lord who is the Spirit of glory. So we can go from glory to glory. Glory can increase in measure. Amen?
Amen.
The more of the presence of God increases in your life, the more the glory increases in your life. Now, there's been so many great awakenings that have occurred around the world and in our nation. And I want to encourage you to read Billy Graham's book, First of All. It's First of All and the Awakenings. It's so excellent. You know, Pastor Brent and I especially love to study the moves of God and the awakenings of God. And it's so encouraging to see what God has done throughout history. And so I encourage you to read that book, but I'm going to share some things from it tonight. So in it, she shares about even how academia has acknowledged the effect of the Great Awakening back in the 1700s on the colonial society that was being formed that brought about the American Revolution. So in 2008, God spoke to Billy, and he said this to her. He said, "One thing will save America, and it's not the elections. It is an awakening to God. One thing will avail for Israel and the nations. It is an awakening to God." And so that God has moved throughout our history, especially as a nation. And when things would wane, there's so much I want to share, and there's not really a lot of enough time to share it all, but you know, what happens during awakening, first of all? What happens? Well, I'll tell you. I think it was Jonathan Edwards that said this: you can't be awakened unless you were asleep or you were dead. So when awakening comes, people who are not aware, they're in a profound sleep, and not aware what God is doing in the earth and what he wants to do, need to be awakened. Sometimes that's in the church. And we need a revival, something to be revived, amen? And a revival happens amongst Christians. They're revived. Revived from something that they lost or that leaked. But an awakening happens, and I mean not just the church is affected, but everybody in the towns are affected. And so multitudes are asleep, and they need an awakening. And so we have to seek God for that. Jonathan Edwards was actually the one that was credited for terming for the original word awakenings. And, you know, if we talk about that back in the 1700s when he lived, let's take a look a little further back than that and look at the landing of the Mayflower. So that happened on Virginia Beach on April 26, 1607. So there was 105 English colonists, and there were 40 seamen on this little ship. It took a lot of faith. It took a lot of courage for the journey. And you know what? It's going to take you faith, and it's going to take you courage for your journey. Their purpose, do you hear me? Their purpose was to come to this country, to this nation, and to dedicate this continent to the glory of God. That was the purpose of the mission. They were at sea for 66 days. The conditions were really terrible. They were crammed into a little tiny space. It was equal to the size of a volleyball court. I mean, can you imagine the smell alone? Not to mention that there was little food for their families. These were families that came. I mean, they ate dried peas and dried fish and wormy biscuits. The seas were very rough and difficult. I'm sure being down there, being in, under the, what do you call it, the hatches were closed in, and I'm sure it was just really a challenge. But they had something burning in them, something that God put in them, and they were going to follow that. And God will put some things in you, and they will burn, and they will be bigger than your hands. Hallelujah. His purposes are always bigger than our hand. Glory to God. So they came and they landed again on April 26, 1607. And when they did, they landed Reverend Robert Hunt. He was the pastor. He required them to stay on board this ship for 3 days. Even though they were docked, so to speak, they had to stay on board. And the purpose of staying on board, it was a time of cleansing and a time of consecration unto the Lord. And then when it was time to come off of the ship, what they did is they had brought with them a 7-foot wooden cross. And they wanted to plant that cross, erected in the sand right there. And when they did, they declared this. They said, from these very shores, the gospel shall go forth to not only this new world, but to the entire world. They made a declaration by the Spirit of God. They spoke it out and declared it. And when you declare a thing, it shall be established. Amen? And so this was so prophetic because this land that they landed on Virginia Beach, it just happens to be the very land that Pat Robertson and his ministry built CBN, that's Christian Broadcasting Network, 700 Club. They built right there on that very land. And do you know what they do? They broadcast the gospel to the entire world. From that very place. Talk about divine providence. Do not lose heart, church. God is in control. The American dream was for this land to be that city on the hill to the world. A beacon and a shining light. Amen? That's how it was established. But by 1730, the colonists had expanded and the churches were not easily accessible. And when you take church and God out of people's lives, when you take the commandments out of our schools, God out of our schools, amen, it has an effect. And people began to lose their spiritual roots and direction. They began to live in sin. And sin abounded. Now this happens, it's like a cycle that happens throughout history. And so, there were several ministers, the ministers and some of the few people who knew what was happening, they began to call times of prayer, seasons of prayer, times of prayer and fasting. And there was two of them who were part of that group. And again, the two were Reverend Jonathan Edwards, who we just spoke of, and his wife, Sarah. And they began praying. I'm sure it was the Holy Ghost that gave him that word awakening. Do you know the Holy Ghost will give you words as you pray? Yes. Awakening, 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 awakening. They began to pray about it, and they prayed about it. This was 1730. Well, by 1734, something started to happen. The winter of 1734. And this Reverend Edwards, he was like a very mild manner man. But he was preaching in a church in Northampton, Massachusetts. And the move of the Spirit began. And it affected everyone, young and old, church and unchurched. It was not Reverend Edwards' personality that attracted people. I mean, he was a soft-spoken guy who spoke in a monotone voice, and he couldn't see very well. So he would hold his Bible up to read, so you couldn't even see his face. So it wasn't his natural charisma. It was the glory of God. It was an awakening that came down. God came down. God came down. And people began to repent, and people began to become hungry for God. And people came from all over in every walk of life just to hear him. Bars were closed down. And instead, people would come to drink in of the words that he would speak, because the words were anointed and they were life unto them. Amen. There was amazing conversions. I mean, I don't have time to go into some of those, but oh, if you read that book, it's so beautiful. Two main things happen in an awakening. People immediately repent and quit their sinning. They quit their strife. They quit divisions. Amen? And they have this supernatural hunger for God where they, you know, their eyes of their understanding are just opened up. And God gives them revelation. And he fills them with his grace and his glory. There's such an awareness of the presence of God. Again, which is the glory of God. And it will affect everyone. It's high time for our nation to awake. When we pray, we break up the fallowed ground and we prepare it for fresh activity. And the Lord wants to manifest himself in our nation. And so we need to contend for these things. We need church to come together and we need to pray individually and corporately. Because one thing is going to save an America. And it's not the elections. It is an awakening unto God.
Amen.
You cannot legislate some things.
No, you can't.
They have to be of the heart. There has to be heart change.
Amen.
So we need to focus on that. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. I want to close with this little story. You know, I like to tell my great-grandkids. Great-grandkids. Jaden is 9, and he loves for me to tell him stories. Sometimes I make up stories with him in it and how he's the hero or how he stands strong in the midst of something. And then other times I'll tell him Bible stories. And not too, just recently I was telling him the Bible story about Moses and how Moses went. And you know the whole story. I don't have time to tell it all. How he left and God called him, and he went up to the mount where the burning bush was. And he stood there at the burning bush. And while he was at the burning bush, the Lord instructed him. He said, you know, take off your shoes. Don't come near. Take off your shoes first. For this is holy ground. Why was it holy? Number one, God was there. But number two, the call of God on Moses' life was there. Do you know that the call of God upon you is holy? And you need to reverence that that way. Well, God did not, he explained to Moses what he wanted him to do. And Moses did not feel qualified. And he tried to debate God. He tried to say, who am I to go? God says, I'm going with you. And Moses said, but I don't talk very well. I don't have eloquent speech. I don't know what his speech impediment was, but he didn't feel qualified. You know, I told Jane, you know, God could have just done anything right there. He did amazing miracles through Moses, amen? Through Moses and his rod, what he had in his hand. God used what he had in his hand, and he'll use what you have in your hand.
Amen.
Now, he could have just, all right, Moses, no more speech impediment. But he didn't do that. He used him with his weakness. And sometimes we think there's certain things about us that disqualify us. I'll tell you what, God wants to use you in spite of yourself. Amen? No matter what weaknesses, and we all have things that we can magnify. But don't magnify those things. Magnify the Lord.
Amen.
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 And so we know the story. He went and he was used of God to deliver the nation. Oh, hallelujah. God wants to use you to deliver some people, to bring them out of captivity. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you. You are going to use your body to deliver people. You know, in Isaiah 61, right after 60, where he says, arise, it says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because what? The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound. There's nothing more awesome than to help somebody get loosed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort and encourage those who mourn. Yeah. To console those who mourn. To give them beauty for ashes. Yeah. There's a lost world out there. A lot of ashes. God can make them beautiful. He can bring beauty out of it. The oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. They shall be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall rise up from the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. Some of our cities need repair. God's calling you to walk in his glory and to do your part. Amen. You don't have to do it all. Guess what? That's the good news. It's not all in your hands. It's in his hand. You just need to be available. You just need to be willing. Amen. You just need to rise up and say, okay, here I am, Lord. Use me. Amen. Use me. Everybody say it. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you for the privilege of being vessels that you use. Well, we can be dispersers of good and dispersers of your glory. And Father, it does even come in small ways like a smile. And sometimes it comes in greater manifestations. But we will be faithful in even the little. And you will be able to use us for the much. And so we thank you. We thank you, Father. You know, just as we sang at the end of our worship, about God sweeping through the room. Pastor Tom, would you and the team come on up? And I just want us to settle in on that for a minute and just allow the Holy Spirit to sweep through the rooms of your heart and your soul. And allow him to sweep out anything that is not of him. Don't just hold on to certain things. I mean, I'm talking about the secret kingdoms of your heart. You've got to just surrender all. And when you surrender all and you say, okay, God, I'm done doing it my way. I'm done holding on to this. Sweep through the room of my heart. Sweep through the room of my soul. And fill it with your glory. Oh, he will do just that. And he'll take you to another place, another level, an increase from glory to glory. Father, we thank you that you're moving. You're moving in this place. You're moving in our hearts. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Such a time of consecration and allowing God to do a mighty work in you, so he can do a mighty work through you. Allowing his word to take root, because it is the word of God that transforms you. We hunger for your word. We ask you, Lord, to grant unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. That we come to know the hope of our calling. And we know the hope of our calling is Christ in us. We know the hope of our calling, Lord, is the glory of God. that you've clothed us with. Oh, remasunde beshele dabra masute shigrede. Mezele dobra masunde keheso bohunde shele dabra bato. Sweeping through the room, he's sweeping through the room. Oh, remande shele dobra moko sabramande. Oh, he's calling you upward. So I want you to lay aside the weights, the doubts. Lay aside the insecurities and step up and step out and step into what he's calling you unto, because it's glorious, church. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for your presence here right now. That it is settling down upon each person. And those watching online, Lord, a tangible anointing just coming upon them, moving on their hearts, giving them hunger for you. Oh, we thank you. We thank you, Father. We are the glorious church, and we're going to arise and we're going to shine for your glory, for you, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Amen. So think big, because he's going to do bigger. He's going to do greater. He's the Almighty One. Amen. Hallelujah.